My sermon title is Call to Duty. Alright, so for those who are especially in the gaming sector, alright, most of them are already in the Sunday school, hopefully. Hopefully, yeah, let me just double check. They are not supposed to be here. Alright, because this is Call of Duty is one of the game. Right? So when we talk about Call to Duty, Call of Duty, the younger generation, or maybe some of us here, you know that it is a first shooter game. And I have known some very young, talented people who outshot me. All right? And some of them are in our midst here. But, you know, when we talk about Call to Duty, Call of Duty, we are not talking about the game. All right? We are not talking about the game. Rather, we are talking about the uniform that the person wears when God called them for a duty. So we see that, you know, when we talk about Call of Duty, they are of the army. So as an army, they have a uniform. And then last Sunday, I think we had our boot camp. And you see that there's a big group of here of the young people here under the Boys Brigade Ministry. Most of them are in uniform. So the question is, as God called us to our duty, what exactly or what uniform are we wearing? What uniform are we wearing? We know that, you know, there are doctors here, there are engineers here, there are IT specialists here, there are businessmen here. All of us dress differently, right, outwardly. You know, we have certain attires that symbolize, you know, this is how I look on Sunday, right? So, quite proper, I would say, right? But if I'm going out for a shopping, I may not dress like this, right? You know, you may see me in a sandal, short pants, you know, bringing a trolley around. Right, so as we look at our call to duty, what exactly is the uniform that we are talking about? This is how I look, you know, when I go to church almost every morning. All right, so you notice that before that, there's a big pouch in front of me that belongs to Krista, all her belongings, all her, you know, diapers, all this stuff. And then there's my, you know, little laptop bag that's for my work. And then on my left hand, on my right hand, I have my handphone, and on the other hand is Krista's food. So when we gear up, in a way, when we gear up for work, which is, you know, quite a fair bit, one-third of our life, how do we actually gear up for our work? All right, so this is something that we are going to talk about this morning. So last session, in my last sermon, we talked about the different type of government, different type of authority. And, you know, Peter has been talking about all this, you know, authorities, how do we submit to our governments, how do we submit now, today, to our immediate bosses. This is the context that we are going to talk about. Whether you are from this type of company, whichever type of company that you see up there, you know, whether it's an incorporation, whether it is a member liability, whether it is a national, multinational company, whichever platform that we are working, Peter has a standardized instruction for this morning. How do we gear up to put, or to run our role, or to be the person that God has called us to be today? So there were more than 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire during the days of Paul. And you will notice that there are many passages in the scripture, especially in the New Testament, that talks about slave. How should a slave treat their master? How should their master treat their slave? Correct? So these are some of the passages that that's recorded in the Bible with specific instruction on how we should, or rather, how should the slave treat their master. There is one dedicated book, the book of Philemon, that's specifically written to talk about Onesimus, a slave. But as we know today, none of us are a slave. Are you a slave to your work, per se? Anyone here belongs to that category? I believe not. But today we have a very interesting slavery. All right, we have a very interesting type of slavery, which we call modern slavery. And that is still present today. So what is the biblical stand on slavery? You notice that the Bible, or rather the New Testament, doesn't say, you know, wow, we should fight slavery. We don't see that. Because the Bible accepted, or rather God accepted, or God is treating slavery as an existing institution. Something that is of that time. And God deals with it accordingly. And today, as we look at our passage today, we can learn from how we should treat our so-called master, our bosses, our superiors, in whichever field that we are serving in. And we are to learn the standard, or rather the same message that Peter has for the slave those days. And we notice that, you know, throughout the ages, we thank God that the old type of slavery is no longer there, because the Christian principles, which are, you know, which includes the equality in the sight of God, the common Christian brotherhood, and the spiritual freedom of Christians, these core values change the society when it is ready. And it did change our society. So much so that the old type, the traditional type of slavery is no longer here. But I want to bring to your attention of another type of so-called modern slavery. It includes practices such as forced labor, debt bondage, forced marriage, human trafficking, situations of exploitation that a person cannot refuse or leave because of threats, because of violence, because of coercion, because of deception and or abuse of power. So we see that here, India has the highest, in a way, back in 2018, the highest number of so-called modern slavery because of the practices, as I mentioned earlier. Now, once again, what is our call of duty today? Are we bound in a certain way to so-called modern slavery, that we have to pay off our debt, that we have to work? You know, how is our attitude of working today, basically? That's what I'm asking. Are we working to clear our debts? Are we working solely to make sure that we have food on the table and education for our kids? How we treat our work, if we treat it as a type of modern slavery, you'll be surprised at our attitude of work. And Peter, today, this morning, is going to remind us how we are supposed to be working, because we claim that we are Christians. There are even more higher expectations when we talk about being a Christian worker. So what is our call to duty today? Once again, to remind you, it has been always a standard one. It has been a consistent one. It is the task of the church to make the invisible kingdom of God visible. How do we do that? By living in such a way that we bear witness to the reality of the kingship of Christ in our jobs, in our families, in our schools, and even in our finances. In our finances. In our jobs. So how do we make it happen today? Does your boss know that you are a Christian? How many of your bosses know that you are a Christian? Can you just wave? Just wave. Okay. All right, good. So that means, you know, they are looking at you with a lot of higher expectation, a lot higher expectation. You are a Christian, all right? So we see that, you know, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. Let me read to you. If you have your physical Bible with you, I would like to encourage you to open it up to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. Now, slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Now, this is talking about how you treat your master, or how your master treats you. But at the end of it, or hopefully by the end of this sermon, you realize that how we behave to our master is not related to how they treated us. Regardless of how they treat us, whether they are good or bad, We are to behave in a certain manner. This is the message that Peter has for us today. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of who our bosses is, and in the previous sermon, regardless of who our government is, we are to behave in a proper manner as a Christian. Because all these are irrelevant. We are answerable to God. Alright? So again, there are 3 points. Our call to duty is to submit to our superior in reverent fear of God. We do it. We submit to our superior because of God. Because we have the reverent fear of God. So God is our foundation. God is our attitude. God should be the center of our life. Whether it is at our workplace, whether it is in our finances, school, all this. Even more importantly, it should be in our ministry, in the church. So to subject or to submit is to be submissive and to obey, basically. It is to obey the instruction of our superiors because we have reverent fear of God. No if, no what if, no other excuses. Straightforward instruction, straightforward attitude. We are to submit to our superior. But I think you have, this cannot be. What if my boss asked me to kill somebody? Should I obey? If a man's law stands against God's law, the believer obeys God rather than man. Again, going back to God. We obey our master because of our reverent fear in God, and we obey God for his commands. So if your bosses ask you to, do some corruption here and there, eat some money here and there, bypass the law here and there, no. And if you say no and your boss treats you poorly, if you say no and if your bosses treat you harshly, this is commendable before God. This is the message today. If you choose not to obey your boss because you know that he is at the wrong, because it goes against God's law, and you suffer because of that, brothers and sisters, this suffering that you are going through because you do what is right is commendable before God. And we see, we have talked about Daniel chapter 6 before this. So let's go back. All right, let's say your bosses do not ask you to, break the law, goes against God's law and all this. So let's think back, okay? So we have to really, really give thanks to God because we have the privilege of having a job. Times are bad. Recession is coming. World economy, the finances, all this. If you look at the news, I believe most of you are even more well-versed with me compared to me, right? Having a job, keeping a job, doing a good job is going to be challenging. But first and foremost, we have to acknowledge that there is some privileges. There are some privileges to have a job, to earn a livelihood, to serve humanity by providing some needed products or services, and to earn enough to meet the needs of the world and to carry the gospel to the world. In a very simple manner, this should cover the privileges of having a job. And you will notice that if we cannot even meet the first privilege to earn a livelihood, there's no need for us to talk about second and third. We need to, God knows that we have our basic needs. We need to eat. We need to provide for our family here and there. Livelihood is earned by working. And we thank God for that. In each role or whatever role that we are in, we thank God for the privilege of having a job. Now, once the basic necessity is taken care of, then we can talk about serving humanity. Then we can talk about carrying the gospel to the world. Because how can a Christian be thinking about this and that, how to feed my children, how to take care of my family, and yet carry the gospel to the world? This is going to be challenging, especially for those who are young in faith. How can my God not take care of me after I become a Christian? So there are challenges here. But once again, we have to remember that these are some of the privileges that God has given to us as we have a job. and we always have the faith that, you know, as God gave us the job, we can then carry the gospel to the world. Our uniform should stand out. All right, in the picture, you notice that there's one already in blue. Our uniform, who we are at our workplace, should stand out. And it should stand out because the energy and effort that we put into our job stand out. Wow, this worker, this Christian, a bit different, you know. This person is willing to go all the way to get the job done. The effort, the energy that we put into our job. And our fear and reverence for Lord stand out. Now, how do we have that in our workplace? You pray before meal. You offer to pray together if you have meal, because you put God first. These are some of the very simple ways, day in, day out, that we can show to the people around us that we have fear for God, we love our God, we are a Christian. And as a Christian, we know that, you know, God is watching our diligence. Even though you are not serving in the church as a full-time, you are in the marketplace, you are in the world, God is watching your diligence. God is watching my diligence. And God is going to reward us for our diligence. Colossians 3, 23, verse 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Whatever you do. Whatever you do. Even carrying a cup, you know, a cup of water to your dear brother and sister in Christ. Oh, this brother has some cough, so let me make it warm water. This brother loves coffee. Let me, you know, give him a 3-in-1 coffee. Stuff like that. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Psalm 31, verse 19. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. So brothers and sisters, as we continue to faithfully do our work, whichever work that we are talking about, know that we are doing it for the Lord. Your attitude at work will definitely change. Your attitude at work will definitely change. So how is our serving attitude in God's ministry? So we have talked about, you know, in our workplace, Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday, sometimes OT, right? So how is our serving attitude in God's ministry? Are we being a good worker as well? Are we laboring in reverent fear of the Lord? And we should, because we love, we fear God, and we should, because we do not want to miss out on the best that God has in store for us in the future. Just remember this, brothers and sisters. One day we will end up with God in heaven. And we have all of eternity to spend with our brothers and sisters in Christ, with God himself. Eternity is a very, very, very long time. Apart from living together for all eternity, one of the best gifts that I can think of is to talk about life here on earth. One of the best things that I hope that I can accumulate over the years of my time here on earth is the time that we serve together in the church. We serve together in the children ministry. We serve together in the boys brigade. We serve together in the worship team. We encourage one another in the connect group. We spend time talking to one another after the service at the Roll Cafe. These are some of the times that I would like to think back when I'm in heaven. Oh, you remember the time when we had talked about this? Wow, it was such a, you know, it was such a beautiful thing. And heaven is created or prepared for us in such a manner that we, when we meet up together, we will have all the time in the world to talk about this. So why miss out on the beauty of this? So if you're not in any serving position today, I would like to strongly encourage you to serve as an usher. Just greet, wear your mask, smile with your eyes. Very simple, right? Smile with your eyes, greet the people. And if you want to take it up even more, try to challenge yourself to be a Sunday school teacher that, you know, when the time comes, you meet up in heaven, a certain young man appears before you and say that, you remember, you are my Sunday school teacher. One of the best things in ministry is that you can see a person grow. Especially if you are involved in the younger, you know, Sunday school, whichever younger ministry. And I would like to encourage you to be part of that. It is a really beautiful thing. Now, of course, when we talk about working, coming back. So when we talk about working, they are bound to have days like this, right? Monday's blues. I have to meet the boss again. I'm sweating, I'm crying at my place deep inside. Nobody knows, you know. It is a gloomy day at work. God has instructions for this. Our call to duty, the second one, is to submit to both the good and harsh employer. Full stop. Not only to those who are good and considerate. If you have one, a boss or superior that is good and considerate, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But also to those who are harsh. So we have two opposites here. Whether it is good, whether it is a harsh employer, you are to do our best. You are to submit. So when we are working under the good employer, we can be expected to be treated justly, fairly, in the brotherly spirit. And even more wonderful, if your boss is a Christian. How many of you have bosses that are Christian? Christian boss. All right, so that is, you know, slightly lesser, right? It is a double blessing or a triple blessing. All right, but there are some dangers, right? There are some dangers. Let me bring to your attention. The danger of having a Christian employer is that sometimes we think that, you know, brother. Okay, you are brother, I brother. Right? You brother, I brother, we are expected to be given some special treatment. Aya, brother, no need to count lah. Okay, MC, no need to count. No need to write, no need to submit, right? Sometimes we think that we are allowed to be, you know, to slack off. Or to be treated with more leniency. Or to be given more consideration, you know, for positions, for certain deals. And sometimes we are not as readily corrected or rebuke for inefficiency or mistakes. So these are some of the dangers that if your bosses are Christian, that we sometimes just cross a line. All right? So be very careful if we are working under a Christian boss. But imagine this. These are the dangers. But imagine this. By working together, brother in Christ, they are doing the best that they can. They will bear more fruit of the Spirit, they will have greater production of work, and they will bear a greater testimony for Christ. So as we put off the danger, as we are aware of the danger, and as we serve God together as a team, brothers and sisters, you notice that it should shine. It should shine. Together, they will bear a greater testimony for Christ. 1 Timothy 6:2, those who have believing masters should not show them disrespect just because they are fellow believers. Instead, they should serve them even better because their masters are dear to them as fellow believers and are devoted to the welfare of their slaves. Even more so, we must be even more so devoted to them. Treat them with respect. You have a good start. You can soar to greater heights, even better. Now, what about those harsh employers? 1 Timothy 6:1, just a verse before that. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Now, how do we say this? If the Christian worker does not give a full day's of work for a full day's of wage, by being lazy, slothful, beating time, you know, we have handphone today, you know, very simple, or we spend a bit more time in the toilet than we should, or being disrespectful, all right, your bosses is going to look at our so-called Christian God as a joke. For God is deemed to be inactive, God is dead, and has made no difference in this so-called Christian life, this worker that you have so-called give me. So in that way, the employer may blaspheme the name of God. Yamo gao chao God, this is your worker. This is the type of Christian that is working under me. Is this who you are? So if we are not careful, we are going to make our boss lost his way, going further away from God. So we have a very big duty. We have a very big responsibility here. And we do have encouraging testimonies that because of the worker, the boss came to know Christ. Because this worker is so different from the world. And what is so different? And as the boss explore, God touched him, God saved him. We have that. But I believe even more so, we have bosses who are turned away from Christianity because of our testimony at work. So once again, submit even though your bosses are harsh. And lastly, submit our conscience to God. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer from doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Now, as believers, we have different sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's prompting. Some will be very loud because we are in tune with God. But some of us, because we are so far away from God, that sometimes it is like a small voice that, you know, we don't know whether it's exactly from God or not. But as a believer, we want to always have a renewed relationship with God, day in, day out. To know that God, you know, this is, I'm going to start my day with a prayer. God, help me with all the work that I'm going to face today. Help me to face all the challenges that you have put in my path today. We pray that, Lord, you help me to face this with your love, with your joy, and with your peace, that in all things that I do, I'm going to glorify you. Forgive me, Lord, if I am weak. In Jesus' name, amen. You can just pray that and then see how God works. You'll be surprised at how consciously aware you are of God in your workplace if you start your day with a prayer, a simple prayer. And as you are more attuned to God, you'll be able to know and see what God wants. You will be able to know what God expects. And our concern for that day, we take day by day, for that day, all right, is to please our God. And if we are going to face with challenges and suffering, we will gladly do so because our primary concern is to please God. So if we say no to our bosses for the laws that they are going to break, we are going to suffer, yes. But if you are suffering it because you have conscience to God, this is commendable before God. God is saying that you are doing your job great. Keep it up. Choosing the right thing to do will have consequences. God is saying that do what is right. At the same time, love your boss. So we who put on Christ's righteousness, are we being slothful? Are we being lazy, irresponsible, unproductive, uncaring, habitually late, prejudiced, cheating or stealing or lying, being careless, selfish or unfair, etc., etc., etc.? That's not on the list. Remember who we represent. Remember who we represent. Because if we fail to live for Christ by failing in our duty at work, then we are failing to please God. And one thing leads to another. Our conscience is going to bug us. Our conscience is going to convict us. It is going to cause problems for us. And if we are not careful, the evil one will speak in your voice. You know, speak in your head. Nah, you see, fail. Why try so hard? No, just ignore it. No need to love them. They have treated you badly. Just do the same to them. An eye for an eye. You know, all this stuff. So if we are not careful, our conscience is going to bug us, yes. And the evil one may have a foothold in us. A little voice that seems to sound right, but it's actually not from God. And our fellowship with God is broken, and we are living a lie, walking contrary to God's standard. So brothers and sisters, as we end our message for today, let us just think, because this is serious. About 1/3 of our life until 60, 65 years old, no, 60, until 60 years old, we are going to work, and we are going to be accountable for how we behave at our workplace. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Whether good or bad. So, if you are in the studying side, you know, have you been studying in such a, you know, in a way that is pleasing to God? Are you being a pain to your teachers? And for those who are working, are we, you know, serving? Or rather, are we clothing Christ's righteousness so that when people and our bosses look at us, they see who God is? We have a call to duty like no other. It is tough, definitely. But God has called us and set us apart for His glory. Christ answered to His duty on the cross. It is now our time, it is now our role to carry our cross daily and follow Jesus. That is to clothe Christ's righteousness in us. So hopefully this will be an encouraging time for you to reflect about our attitude at work, our attitude while we are serving in the church, because ultimately I hope and I believe all of us will want to hear this from God. Matthew 25:23, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." This is like one of the best things that I can look forward to when I see Jesus. The second thing that I would like to look forward to is, you know, as I've shared just now, the time that we can sit down, chit-chat, think back about how we have been serving God in this capacity or in another church, you know, stuff like that in our journey of faith. So prayerfully, this will also be your yearning when you see God. To hear from God that, well done, so and so, for being a good and faithful servant. Are we performing our daily duties at work, giving our very best to glorify God? Let us pray. Let us pray. Father, we know that at times we have been weak. And at times, Lord, we have failed to meet up with the expectations of the people around us. And Lord, whether it is our fault, but Lord, we just want to come before you this morning, asking you for your forgiveness, for we have failed to meet your expectations. And for the past that we have done wrong against you and against our bosses and superiors, and if there's any problem with our attitude in serving you in the church, Lord, we pray that you help us. Layer by layer, Lord, you peel us and see what is truly inside our heart. And we pray that, Lord, you will help us to be the best version that we can be with the Holy Spirit in us. And Lord, we ask that you help us to grow in such a manner that, Lord, when people look at us, they can indeed see that we are different from the world, because we have you, your Holy Spirit, in us. And Lord, we want to hold on to this promise that you will never forsake us, that you will always be with us. Your Holy Spirit will strengthen us and give us wisdom. So for the difficult bosses that we have in our life, Lord, we pray that you will work miracles. You will use us to change them. You will use us to show who you are to them. That they ultimately at their fallen stage, Lord, they will be able to see a light in us. They will be able to see that we are different from the world. That because of us, Lord, they will draw to be closer to you, and ultimately, Lord, you save them. But we pray that you will prepare us to be your instrument that you will use to save our unbelieving colleagues and bosses. So Lord, we pray that you will continue to help us to be one that is going to have a life pleasing to you. And we pray that, Lord, as we prepare our hearts to give our offering to you, we want to invite the ushers to come to the front. And we want to ask that, Lord, you help us to reflect upon our lives, to prepare our hearts. As the music continues, Lord, you speak to us right now. You speak to us.